An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
I wrote it in this first slide, God with us. Listen, God created us because he wanted us. You get that, right? God didn't need us. He was self-sufficient before the creation of the world. He created us because he wanted us. The purpose of the existence of mankind is personal relationship with God. And that's why we don't have peace and fulfillment in our lives when our relationship with God is out of whack or non-existence. Anybody can testify the lack of peace, fulfillment in your life when you're not in relationship with God? Why? Because you were created to be in relationship with God. That's the very reason that we're made. However, we chose ourselves and left our first love, which is God. And sin entered into the world and created a chasm which we could never fix, right? We know that. Sin settled in the world and we were forever separated from God, the lover of our souls. So, God created a covenant in the Old Testament based on the blood of animals to pay for the penalty for our sins. But we know from the New Testament perspective that it could never truly satisfy the overwhelming debt that we owe. The separation from God, the blood of lambs and goats and doves are never going to be able to satisfy that debt. So, God decided to become one of us, a man, Jesus. And that's what Emmanuel is all about. God decided to become one of us so that we could truly see his love for us, so that we could understand who he is and how wonderfully he pursues us, even to the point of death. And the virgin will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, because God is with us. You get it? God wanted us. He created us. He loved us. Sin separated us. God attempted to make a covenant relationship, and we could not even keep that covenant. And so, because he wanted us, he became with us. He sent Jesus. When I was in the infantry... Basically, can I just say this? It's not true of all people in the infantry world, but the infantry world in and of itself is a very godless group of people, okay? Yeah, people spoke things that no human should ever speak, and ears heard things that no human should ever hear. It's a very godless culture. And for the most part, man, they really could care less about God. And when we had like mandatory times where the chaplain would come before combat, before war, things like that, the chaplain would come and he would pull out his robe and his sash and he would fold out his collapsible communion table. And for the most part, man, the infantry world is like, this is useless to me. I mean, that was kind of the sentiment. But I'll never forget that one time we had a chaplain come by our unit, and the chaplain had been an infantryman. And he wore a combat infantry badge and infantry patches, but now God had moved in a way that he was a chaplain also. And for the first time, I saw all the men that were around me come under the attention and the spiritual leadership of a chaplain. Why? Because he was one of them. Because they could relate to a man who wore a cloth but was once lived in the world and struggled with the things they struggled with. And to me, this is such a powerful picture of Emmanuel, God with us, because it allows us to relate to a man who became one of us, who walked like we walk, who struggled like we struggle, who endured great hardship, great pain, great sacrifice. And he wasn't rescued out of it by his Heavenly Father, but he actually endured it. And I believe God did that as a gift for us, Emmanuel, God with us. See, the angel, when he came to When he came to Joseph, he could have made the announcement, right? Here's a virgin to be, here's a baby born of the Virgin Mary, and he is to be God above us, or God who is greater than us, or God who is wiser than us, or God who is more powerful than us, or God who judges us, or God who condemns us. He could have made those announcements on the earth, and God would have been perfectly right and just to do so, right? No one could argue with that, but he didn't. He said, and his name will be Emmanuel. God is with us. He's with us. He's communing. The word with there, if you look at it, you actually have to go back to the Hebrew because this is an Old Testament prophecy. But the word Emmanuel, El, meaning the name for God, and Manuel, talking about it means to be with, among, to walk with. God is among us and actually walks with us through the man Jesus. How amazing is our God? How amazing is His love for us, and how relentless is His pursuit for us that He would become like us and walk with us. He was not satisfied with a distant relationship based on the bloods of bulls. He wanted to be with us, to be among us, to love us. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my dad and my father-in-law hated each other when Jill and I were growing up. I mean, like, literally. Like, they got in a physical altercation one time. My dad was the pastor. Jill's dad was the music minister. And they really struggled with each other. And it's funny that years later we got married and they have to be together, right, in this whole lifelong pursuit. It's interesting. You know, I don't know if Jill's ever told you this story, but on the day we, because I knew Jill as a small girl, went away, went to college. On the day we re-met at Hardin-Simmons University, her father received a postmarked letter from my dad repenting and asking his forgiveness. Because you remember when Life Action Ministry came to our church and they teach so strongly in repentance? They had been to my dad's church. My dad came under conviction for the way she had treated Jill's dad. And so the day we re-met, her dad received a letter from my dad in repentance. Just interesting. But Jill's dad has been real bitter towards the church. He no longer leads music. He no longer really wants to be a part of the church. He goes, but he's pretty bitter about it. And I have not heard Jill's dad sing to the Lord. I mean, I was 14 when we left, okay? So, you know, whatever that is, 24 and 38, 24 years, I've not heard Jill's dad sing, okay, to the Lord. And last night we had, because there's family, whatever, we had Christmas at their house, and Jill's grandmother called her pastor to ask him to rook Pat into singing a solo for her at their church in Anadarko, Oklahoma. And Pat was talking about, oh, my mom rooked me into singing this song or whatever. And so Jill was like, well, sing it for us. And so Jill's mom last night sat down at the piano and began to play. And Jill's dad sang the song, Emmanuel, God with us. And I wept because of the great grace of our God. That 24 years later, here is a man that was closing his eyes and he was communing with the Lord again at the piano over Emmanuel, God with us. Because I think that's the powerful message of grace, that he came to be with us, that he wants us. So I just kind of was asking the Spirit, you know, what does that mean for us practically, you know, on a daily basis? And I felt like the Holy Spirit led me to these three things, these three passages. So what does it mean that God is with us? Number one, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus is with us in hardship. Anybody have hardship in your life? Anybody ever had hardship? Anybody think there might be some hardship on the horizon in your life? Yeah. And Jesus is with us. Can we turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12? Almost to the end there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Jesus, God with us in the midst of our hardships. Chapter 12, verses 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What does it mean that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us? It means that Jesus has gone before us in hardship and has prepared the way for us. John 16, 33, Jesus says this to his disciples, in this world you will have troubles, right? But what? You might remember? But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I love the words take heart in our English translation. They come from the Greek word that means literally have courage and be of good cheer or joy and be comforted. So say Jesus is saying, you will have trouble, but be full of courage, have joy, and be comforted because I've already overcome the world. Why it is so gracious of God that he would send Emmanuel, God with us, is because there is no hardship we will endure that Jesus has not gone before us and endured and overcome and prepared a way for us. There's not one. Think about the worst hardships in your life. Jesus absolutely knows what it is to lose loved ones. He knows what it is to be betrayed by the people closest to him. He knows what it is to be abandoned, to reject it, to be abused, to be scorned. He has been through the hardest of the hard. Jesus knows what it is to be rejected by his very own father. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? When he became the sin of the world on the cross. You see what I'm saying? Jesus is God with us, and what that means is not just some Christmas card. It's no, Jesus is with us in hardship. He's gone before us, he's overcome, and he's walking with us now through the difficulty. Will you choose Jesus' company in your present hardship? Jesus offers us today and every day when we endure hardship, he offers us strength, peace, and I think most importantly, companionship. In hardship. When we go through the most difficult times of our life, Jesus is right there. He has not abandoned us. He will not leave us. Why? Because God prophesied that he would be Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus is with us. And I know some of you are going through some incredible hardships. So you've got a choice. You will let Satan use it to draw you away from God, or you will actually let Jesus be your companion and be drawn closer to God and be strengthened, comforted, and full of joy in the midst of hardship. Isn't that amazing? Number one, Jesus, God with us in hardship. Number two, Jesus, God with us in temptation. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that Jesus has endured temptation and is with me when I'm tempted. You're in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's back up to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. This passage labeled Jesus the great high priest. Okay, so the author's teaching to the Jews, trying to use the Jewish frame of mindset to understand who Jesus is. Okay? So verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Why can we hold firmly to our faith? Because Jesus has gone through the heavens before us and has endured all these things. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he was without sin. Let us then, since we have this high priest who's been tempted in every way but endured it faithfully, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, in our time of testing, in our time of temptation. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, it's one of my favorite passages, helped me so much in my journey to try to be holy along with Jesus. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, period. And He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Satan loves to use an isolation tactic to overwhelm us, separate us from God, and separate us from each other through the isolation of temptation. But the truth is that Jesus went into and through every temptation we will endure, and He went before us. And He is with us today in the midst of our temptations, and He has already provided a way out and offers us the mercy we need to take it. Isn't that just like God? He can't remove temptation altogether because there has to be a choice. Right? To follow God is always voluntary. Always. So He can't move temptation because then there's no choice. There's no test that produces endurance in us. But He has promised this. When temptation comes, your high priest Jesus has already been through it. He's already overcome it. And He's already prepared a way out for it. And He gives you the confidence to approach the throne of grace in the time of temptation and receive the mercy you need to take the way out. That's pretty gracious of God. Are we okay? Bathroom all right? All right. Lost a small child in the bathroom. Man, what an amazing, gracious gift from God. I know you get tired of you probably get tired of the whole military illustration. I think it was just such an impactful time in my life. A lot of those things stick. But I'll never forget the whole gas chamber day, okay? Do you remember your gas chamber days, those of you guys that served? So they take you into the gas chamber, and they show you how your gas mask works. And so you're in there, and they drop these tablets on these burners, and this little concrete block building just gets filled up with all this gas. And they say, everybody take off your gas mask. By the way, the drill sergeants never don a gas mask. They're the toughest people alive. They're just in there. I mean, the whole place is filled with tear gas. Not a drop in their eye. I don't know. They must take some kind of pill to be immune. I don't know. But they say, all right, off with your gas mask. Everybody takes the gas mask off. And you start breathing in this gas, right? And then every fluid in your body comes out of your nose and your mouth and your eyes, okay? And it's horrible. And they start asking you questions. Where are you from? What's your social security number? And you're trying to talk all these things. And I mean, you're just choking and gagging. Everything's coming out of the orifices of your body. It's horrible. And then eventually, when you get how horrible this is going to be, right? They open the back door and start ushering you out. And they take this video, and I have the video of my basic training class, of everybody carrying their gas mask in one hand, rifle above their head, coming out, and it just, snot is flowing everywhere, tears, fluid everywhere. And when I was thinking about this week, about how precious it is that Jesus actually goes into every temptation, opens the door for the way out of it, and actually ushers us through our hardship. That picture just came to my mind. There is no temptation you will endure that he has not gone before you. There is not a temptation on this earth that he has not already prepared a way out of, and that he will not walk with you. Emmanuel, God with us, even in our temptations. Isn't that great of God? I love that about him. That even in our testings and our trials, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to have to be tempted without me. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to hold your hand right through this temptation and give you everything you need to walk successfully through it. There is no excuse for us. You know what I'm saying? We can't excuse, oh man, this temptation was just too much. No, it wasn't. That was just too hard. No, it's not. He's done everything to give us success, and he's with us every step of the way. All right, last thing. Number one, Jesus, God with us in hardship. Number two, God with us in temptation. And number three, God with us in hard obedience. God ever called you to hard obedience, anyone? To do something that's really difficult? Yeah. All right, we're in Hebrews. Hebrews is just the passage of the day. All right, you're in chapter 4. Look just across the page into chapter 5. And would you read along with me 7 through 9? All right. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Isn't that an amazing passage? That though Jesus was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. God didn't say, hey, you're going to be my children and I expect you to obey me, period. He said, you're going to be my children, I expect you to obey me, and I'm going to give you my son to become a man like you, walk with you, and show you what it looks like to obey me in difficult situations. And that is so gracious of God. This Jesus is such a great gift to us. And he's not just such a great gift on the cross. He's such a great gift in every area of his life and our life. Luke chapter 22. I'll just read this passage for you. Verse 42 and 43. Jesus is in the garden before his death on the cross. And he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You know this prayer. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And it says in verse 43, and an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Why did he strengthen him? So that he could just make it through? No, listen to this next verse. And being in anguish, Jesus prayed even more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus is in the hardship of obedience. He's being called to the cross for the penalty of our sins. He's honestly coming before God and saying, if there's any way to get out of this, let's do it, but not my will, but your be done. And so an angel comes and strengthens him. Why does an angel strengthen him? So that he can be in even more anguish and effectively pray through it for his own obedience, for our good. Did you know that Jesus has bled twice for you? Once on the cross for the payment for our sins, and secondly in the garden as an example of obedience and hardship. When it's the most difficult, being able to respond in obedience to God. When God asks you to do something difficult or to believe Him for what seems humanly impossible, or when the task He's given you seems overwhelmingly hard and obedience is extremely difficult, Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus has been there and is currently with us to guide us through it for our good and God's glory. In those difficult times of obedience, when He's asking us to forgive that person who hurt us so deeply, or to generously give, not out of our abundance, but out of sacrifice, whether it's our time, resource, whatever. When obedience is difficult, or how about this? When your wife brings correction to you and you know you're wrong. Anybody else find that a moment of difficult obedience but me? Okay, I'm the only one with that problem. Okay. All right, in those moments where we come into difficult obedience, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is right there. He's right there. He knows what it is to sweat drops of blood at the thought of difficult obedience. And He's earnestly praying for us, interceding for us, and He's with us. My mom has two sisters. Her youngest sister, when she got to be about a young teenager, started losing her balance a lot. Ended up, she had this disease that they never figured out what it was, but she slowly lost all her motor skills and every part of her body. And for the last 2 years of her life, she was in her young 30s, I'll never remember as a kid, the last 2 years of her life, all she could do was open her eyes and breathe. That's it. And she actually sat in her bedroom for days upon days, and my grandmother flipped a prayer chart for her over and over all day. Just came and flipped a prayer chart. All she could do was blink her eyes and breathe in the last couple of years of her life. And you know, my grandmother, Mary Jo, we called her JoJo, she took care of Kim 24 hours a day, 7 days of her life for 30 plus years. You know, I mean, I guess from a teenager, you know, to when she died in her early 30s. I can't remember if she was 32 or 33. But anyway, she took care of her every day. And for those of you who's cared for a quadriplegic, I mean, you know. I mean, it's cleaning their rear end. It's everything. All the days of her life. And I'll never forget at my Aunt Kim's funeral, they had an open mic and someone got up and they were just encouraging my grandmother, JoJo, for all the sacrifice. And I'll never forget, my grandmother stood up and she said, "It was no sacrifice." You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a sacrifice to her because it was her daughter. And where I believe God wants to take us is that no obedience is difficult for us because of our great love for God. You know what I'm saying? We'll walk through the hardest moments of our life. We'll obey God in the most difficult circumstances. And we'll come at the other end and just say, "What sacrifice? He's a master. I'm a servant. I'm in love with Him. So I obey Him." You know what I'm saying? Emmanuel, God with us. All right, so I had two closing slides here for response. Number one is this. Responding to Emmanuel, God being with us. Two questions. God is with us. Are you with Him? God is with us. Are you with Him? God had every right to reject us and abandon us, but He didn't. He went through great effort and hardship to be with us and to love us. God is totally committed to His relationship with us. Are we committed in our relationship to Him? God chose to be with us. Will we choose to be with Him? Today, will you surrender your life and receive His great love? Will you receive His forgiveness through Jesus' blood and make a covenant commitment to be with Him forever, no matter what? And if you already have a love relationship with Him, but it's grown cold, or you've left your first love, or you've not been who you should be as a lover to Him, then would you return today? And like the prodigal son, Father, He's waiting for you to turn, and He will run to you and embrace you as the son or daughter that you are. God is with us. Are we with Him? I think it's a good question. And then lastly, will you be an Emmanuel to your world? I say your world. I don't know what your world looks like. My world looks like pastoring a church, being a father to four, a husband to one wife, the friends He's given me, the acquaintances he's given me, that's my world. Yours looks very different. But will you be an Emmanuel to your world? See, just like Jesus was God with us, we are to be an Emmanuel, God with them. Does that make sense? We're to be like Christ in this way. Jesus came to bridge the gap and say, God is with you. And now we're the Emmanuel that walks in the world and says, God is with you. Through Jesus in me. What's the old Emmanuel hymn? I'm not even going to try to sing it. But his Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is Emmanuel. You get it? God with us, revealed in us to the world. Here's the deal. I'm sorry, and I mean this. I literally apologize. But the church today has become grossly ineffective and unnecessary to a large part of our culture. They don't care about it. The ministers are crooks. The people are hypocrites. They're not interested in the church. And the majority of the world who needs the revival of Jesus Christ will never enter into a worship service to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Okay? They're not going to come into the church, so we're going to have to be the church to them. You get it, right? And here, and I was talking to one of my friends this week that's an engineer in an engineering firm. He thought he might go into full-time mission. Things changed, and he's just an engineer now. And I said, man, this is so precious to God. He does need pastors. You know, there's a point. And if he's calling you to that, he's pastors and ministers, then don't run from that and surrender to it. But just as much as he needs some paid minister, he needs you. And I know we talk about it all the time, but we can never talk about it enough. He needs you to be right where you are, to be Emmanuel, God with them. He needs engineers. He needs heavy machine operators. He needs nurses. He needs doctors. He needs teachers to be God with them. And I heard a minister preaching this week, and he said, we have got to tear down the sacred secular aspect of Christianity that says, I'm sacred at church and I'm secular when I'm in the world. And it's got to come down because we're sacred everywhere we go. We're sons and daughters of God. We're ministers of reconciliation. We're the glory of God in the face of Jesus everywhere we go. That's why we have to be the same with our church friends and with our drunk friends. We got to talk the same when we're with our rowdy friends and when we're with our Christian people. You know what I'm saying? We got to be the same. Because to Jesus Christ, there's no church world and world. It's just his people that he loves. And he said, I've given you Jesus to be God with you, and now I expect you to be Jesus, God with them. And I think that's the question. Are we Emmanuel? All the people he's given us that surround our lives, do they look at us and say, you know, when I'm with Jesse, I feel like God's with me. When I'm with Randy, when I'm with Tammy, when I'm with Corey, when I'm in their presence, I feel like I'm in the presence of God. I feel the peace of God. I feel the joy of God. They always encourage me and build me up. I feel like I leave better than any time I come to them. Will we be Emmanuel? He's been God with us. Will we be God with them? You know what I'm saying? That's how revival is going to come. I love you, but all 8,000 people that are supposed to live in Brock, Texas, and the surrounding area, they're not going to pack into a church. They need to be revived by the sons and daughters of God being revived in their personal lives and showing them what it looks like in the real world.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. For more information about the church, please visit our website, www.gatheringbrock.org.